In 2 Samuel chapter 7, this account is David coming back to Nathan and speaking to the prophet Nathan. Actually, he was seeking counsel from him. It's interesting that Nathan was the one who exposed David's sin with Bathsheba. But now, later on in the life of David, he has confidence in this prophet that he's truly a prophet of God. And so he seeks counsel from Nathan, the prophet. Notice here, this is 2 Samuel 7 and 1. It came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan, the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Go do all that is in thine heart. Now in David's life, when you read on in this chapter, Nathan has said, go ahead, do what's in your heart. And we know that what was in his heart was the building of the temple. That's what his life goal was the establishment of worship in Jerusalem. And so Nathan says, go do what's in your heart. But it's interesting that night, in the night, the Lord comes to Nathan and says, he's not going to be able to build the temple. I'm going to build it. I'm paraphrasing. You can read down through the chapter. And so the Lord spoke through Nathan the prophet to David and said, I told you to do all that was in your heart. But the Lord has spoken and told me that, no, that's not what his plan is for you. He's got another way of accomplishing his will. And said, you're not going to build this temple, but your own offspring will. Your own son will build it. Now, that seems like that would have been maybe the biggest disappointment of David's life. But when you read through and study the circumstances all around this, not only here, but also in other places here in the scripture, you'll see that David, it's obvious that he didn't allow this to stop him or to discourage him. But instead, it appears that David spent all of his estate on the building of the temple. He purchased the materials. He hired the laborers. He got everything set up so that the temple could be built, even though he wasn't physically going to be the one to do it or the one that was going to carry out the work. His son was going to do that. But he didn't let this be a disappointment to him. He literally did what Nathan said. He did all that was in his heart. He went ahead and followed through as much as God would allow him to do. He did it. Amen. Now, I wanted to take for a few minutes here tonight and talk to you about that very subject, do all that is in thine heart. Because I believe that if you're 15 or 17 or 25 or 50 or 60 or 80 or whatever age you are, God is not through with you until your life is over. When your life is over and you take your last breath in this world, then God's plan for you on this earth is completed. But not until that day. Amen. Not until that day comes. So I think that some of us, we start trying to wind down too early. It very well may be that God has other things planned for you. And he puts things in your heart. He puts things in your heart. And you need to follow through and do the things that the Lord has put in your heart. What's interesting to me is that God's ways, the scripture says in Isaiah, his thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. That's how far apart it is. Your natural approach or your natural thinking is that far, as far as earth is from heaven. That's how far apart your thinking is from God's thinking. Amen. And God's plan is always a big plan. God's plan is always a great plan. And he wants to use you, and he wants to accomplish his purpose in your life, and he will do it in ways that you can't even imagine. Amen. God's not through with you. He's not through with me. He's not through with anyone here. Some of you that are very young, God's beginning to put desires in your heart, maybe dreams or visions in your heart about what he wants you to do in your future. Do all that is in your heart. Follow the plan of God, but remember this, that God's ways are always different than your ways. And his plans will always be different than the way that you plan things to be. Moses, this is from Ravi Zacharias. He said, God trained Moses in a palace to send him to a desert. And he trained Joseph in a desert to send him to a palace. You see, for you and your life and your purpose and your calling and your vision and what God wants to do with your life, it's different than mine. It's different than anyone else's. We all are distinct individuals, but we all belong to the Lord, and he knows us by name. He knows everything about our life. And he has a plan for you. Some of you are saying, well, yeah, but I'm in my 60s, or I'm in my 70s, or I'm whatever age. God's pretty well through with me. I can't do all that much. I know that people live longer in the Old Testament, but I think that you can't ignore the fact that Abram was 75 years old when he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. I mean, he was just getting started at 75. He was 90 years old when the Lord appeared to him and told him that he was going to be the father of a great nation, and that his offspring were going to be like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. He was 90 years old. He was 100 years old when the promise was fulfilled and Isaac was born. And God's still not through with him. God's fulfilling his plan and his purpose in him and for him. Amen. Moses was 40 years old when he left the palace and ran for his life and ran into the desert. And God used the next 40 years to train this man that had been, you know, in the soft, easy life of the palace, to train him in that wilderness, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep for the next 40 years, so that he would be ready to do the job that he was going to be called to do when he was 80 years old. And when he was 80 years old, he stood before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And he'd spent 40 years. You see, God's plan is an amazing thing when you see it unfold. And when you see God working in your life, and the important thing is catch the dream and the vision from the Lord. What is it that he's wanting you to do? And then do it with all of your heart. Do all that is in thine heart. And don't ever give up on the plan of God or the purpose of God for your life. My favorite verse in the Old Testament is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." I love the verse because it reminds me that God thinks about me. Amen. He thinks about you. He's got thoughts about you. Isn't that an incredible, amazing thing to even consider? That the God of the universe, the God who created everything, that has all power, all wisdom, the all-knowing God, that in the mind of God is every individual here, every one of you. Amen. He knows you. He cares about you. He cares enough to make a plan for your life and to include you in the work of the kingdom of God. That's an amazing thing to me. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, to give you a hope and a future, to to work in your life to allow you to know that God is able to bring to pass an amazing plan for your life, and you just need to get in step with the Lord and do all that is in thine heart. David was closing out. He had fought all of his battles. He was now winding down the latter years of his life, and he still has in his heart this desire that God has put in his heart to see the temple built, and he didn't let anything stop him from doing all that was in his heart. Even though he wasn't able to actually build the temple, he did everything in his power to see the fulfillment of that plan. Praise God. Do all that is in thine heart. If you're a teen, or if you're in your 20s or 40s or whatever, wherever you are here tonight, understand that God's plan is something that will bring about joy and fulfillment for your life. Just get in the big middle of it and do it with all of your heart. Romans 11 and 33 is a wonderful verse. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge. The word wisdom there means the designs of God. The wealth, the riches of God's design, God's plan, God's purpose, and the knowledge, which means the means of carrying them out. The wisdom and the knowledge that God is a God of great design, and he's included you in that design, and he's opened doors for you, and he's put you where you are. And some of the things that you're involved in right now, it doesn't seem like that God could ever use it, or God could ever work in the situation that you're in. But oh, he can. He can and he will. If you'll commit your ways to the Lord, God can use your trouble, your problem, even your adversity and some of the challenges of your life right now. And God has put you where you are, and he can do some amazing things. Do all that is in your heart. Let the Lord use you to accomplish the things that he's wanting them to do. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom or the designs of God and the knowledge, the carrying out of them of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You could never imagine that God can put the puzzle of your life circumstance together and not only make it meaningful, but make it demonstrate the power of God in your life. And make it something that would bring joy and fulfillment in your life. Amen. That's how they're unsearchable. His judgments are unsearchable. His ways are past finding out. You can't imagine the design and the plan of God and what he wants to do with you, through you, for you, if you will just commit your ways to the Lord. Do all that is in thy heart. Well, that starts with your being willing to do what he's placed in your hand right now. Be willing to do what he's placed in your hand right now, which might be, you know, you might think, well, this is not really what I want to do. This is not really, I don't want to be in this position or be in this place. I don't want to do what I'm doing right now. But if you will do it, understand that God knows what he's doing. You're a child of God. He's placed you right where you are right now. And if you will look for the ways and the opportunities that he's giving to you to glorify his name in this situation. Amen. To demonstrate his power in this situation. Amen. To be a voice for Jesus where you are, so that lives can be touched and affected for the glory of God. Do all. Do it. Do those things that God has placed in your hand. And do it with all of your heart. Do it with all of your might. Do it for the glory of God. And start with where you are right now. Amen. It's a hard lesson to learn, but it's one that we all have to sometimes go through things that we don't understand and the plan of God and the will of God, but we need to be reminded. Another verse is Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you're a child of God, right now, God is at work in your life circumstance. Amen. When we came here years ago, I believe it was 1987 or 8, 9, somewhere in there. Am I right? No, 79, I'm sorry. Go back 10 more years. 78 or 79. It was the year Mandy was born, 1979. We came here, and we had been working in a church up at St. Louis, and Brother Huff had talked to us and needled us and worried us to death, and we came. We came down here to work here, and I was going to go ahead and go do some more schooling down at Cumberland, and we came here, and I had these big ideas about what we wanted to accomplish. Brother Huff's idea was he wanted me to get a job, and to get a job, and not only did he want me to, but he helped me get the job. And I know many of you've heard this story, and it's a wild and crazy story. How that, let me just say right offhand here, I hold no offense toward Brother Huff. I loved him as much as anybody could love anybody. But at the time, I did not understand. Because I was thinking about, what about all these people that need to be won? What about all these things that we need to implement in the church? I was young, but God wanted me to submit my will. And he wanted to put me in some situations where he wanted me to be that I didn't want to be. And I know you've all heard the story, but he got me a job driving a bus for comprehensive care, and I drove all over this county. I mean, from the south, Corbin, Keevy, all the way out to East Bernsted, and just about all over the entire county. I drove picking up people, bringing them into the learning center that used to be down here behind Finley's restaurant. It's no longer a restaurant. That was my job. That was my job. And at first, honestly, the first day, I hated it. I resented it. I did not want to be there. I did not want to be doing that. But that is where God put me. That's where God put me. Many years later, just in the months before we came back to London to pastor, the Lord, I was going through in my mind, because the Lord had laid the church upon my heart so strong, and in my mind, my connection with the county, I was going down and around the roads of Lowell County that I drove during that year and a half, or whatever it was that I drove that bus. I learned things. I heard things. God did some things in me in that difficult situation. God was working. God was working. And he caused me to have a new understanding of people's needs and to try to learn how to minister to people who were hard to deal with, hard to minister to, and hard circumstances that it was not at all anything that I wanted to do, but God's plan was that I follow the plan, do what he wanted me to do. After a while, I really loved it. I really enjoyed it. Not only did I enjoy it, but within the process of about 2 years, the program that I was driving the bus and dropping them off, they said to me one day, why don't you become the director of this program? And I said, well, okay, give me more money, and I will. And I became the director. It's like the Lord turned it all around, and in a year and a half's time, and I was in charge of that program, and I was learning even more things that I could never have imagined that I needed to learn. All of it was a part of the plan of God, and I needed to do it. I needed to submit my will and do what he wanted me to do. You know, everything in the ministry is not all about the pulpit. It's not all about many of the things that we think are so important. God knew what he was doing. And do you know that God's got some of you in situations that you would just rather not be in right now? It's not easy. It's difficult. It's hard. And you're faced with these challenges that you're in right now, maybe in your family, maybe in your work and your job. But don't give up on God's plan for your life. Just stay right in that place of submission to God and to the will of God and see him begin to work. Amen. You look at the life of Joseph. God gave to Joseph some amazing dreams about his life, his family, and his future. He's a young man, a young boy, that God has given to him the vision of what's going to happen down the road. He's 17 years old whenever he first begins to receive these dreams, and he tells his brethren about them, who are already didn't like him too much. But now, because he was giving to them the dream of them all being, you know, bowing down to him, the Bible says that they hated him because of his dreams. They hated him, and they set out. Joseph, he had a dream of where he was going to be, and he didn't get in the throne room of Pharaoh for 13 more years. There was a 13-year span of time that he was learning things that God wanted him to learn. And they were not easy things. They were not easy at all. First of all, he's betrayed by his own family. Now, I don't know that you've ever faced that or not, but it could be that the Lord would allow you to go through circumstances where you are even betrayed by those that you love the most. That's what happened to Joseph. You all know the story. His brethren threw him into that pit and then sold him into slavery. Can you imagine the heartbreak of a young boy and all of his dreams and his plans? It's as if they're all gone, and everything that he was longing to see take place. One of his problems is he should have never shared his dream with his brothers, but he did. And as a result, he finds himself in the pit. He finds himself betrayed and no doubt heartbroken as a result of that. But all in all, it was a part of God's plan to get him down there to Egypt, because God was going to work in that situation. Amen. Then he finds himself in the household of Potiphar. And there he is falsely accused. You may go down the pathway of false accusations. He was betrayed by the closest people in his life, but he didn't get bitter. He was falsely accused and not able to defend himself. He just let God take care of it and let God defend him. And then a promise was given, and the third thing that he faced was given a promise, and then the promise was broken, and he was forgotten to lay in that prison. All of those things over that span of 17 years from the time he's, or 13 years from the time he's 17 years old until he's 30 years old. I think it's interesting that Jesus spent all of his life until he's 30 years old in submission to his parents and his family. We don't know anything about the life of Jesus except for that one little incident when he's 12 years old, when he said, "I must be about my Father's business." The rest of the time it says that he grew and that he was submitted to his family. He yielded himself to his parents. He did their will, and for the rest of his life until he's 30 years old, until his ministry begins, he's totally in submission to his family. That was all a part of the training ground. His ministry was really just 3 years, 3.5 years, but all the rest of those years were the training period, the preparation period. And that is an example for all of us to understand that God uses the things we are in and we're going through to prepare us for the things that he's got down the road. Amen. Amen. So yield to the Lord as Jesus did. He submitted himself to his parents and stayed with under their leadership and under their authority, and took care of his mother, apparently when Joseph was no longer there, and took care of her all the way up until he is introduced and his ministry begins there at the wedding of Cana. It's an amazing thing, all of the planning and all of the time and the training period. That's what Joseph went through. Betrayed by those closest to him, falsely accused with no chance at all to defend himself, and then forgotten in a prison. All of that was building in him character. All of that was building in him things that he needed to know, he needed to learn, because there is coming a day when at God's appointed time, he was coming out of that prison and God was going to put him at second in the kingdom. God was going to place him with power and authority. He took Joseph all the way down there to save his family and his household from starvation during a time of famine. God brought them all and he preserved the Israelites, and that entire lineage of Jesus Christ was preserved because Joseph went through those trying and difficult times. Amen. Do all that is in your heart. Sometimes it will be challenging, difficult. Sometimes it will be something that your flesh resists. You don't want to see these things or go through these things. And submit yourself to the Lord. God's timing is right. God's purpose is right. He knows what he's doing. Amen. Let him work in your life. Let him work in your circumstance. Do all that is in your heart. Amen. Glory to God. Then you go all the way to Genesis 50. Now his father and his brethren are all coming to Egypt. There they're going to be preserved. Joseph is going to be the one that God is going to use as the instrument to provide for them and to feed them. Here's what he says in Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. That's right, the pit, the betrayal, being sold into slavery, the false accusation, the prison experience, every bit of it. God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Praise God. Hallelujah. I wanted to just, in this service tonight, just to try to stir up your thinking a little bit to, maybe you already know this, but you just needed a reminder that God's at work right now, in your predicament, in your pain, in your betrayal, in your adversity. God's at work in it. Yield to the Lord. Amen. Amen. It could have been David's biggest disappointment to say, what are you talking about? I'm the king. I'll build this temple if I want to. I've got the power to do this. I've got the money to do it. I can do what I want to do. But no, instead, he submitted himself to God and to the voice of the prophet Nathan and said, okay. I'm going to do all that I can. I'm going to do everything you've provided for me. And that's what he did. He put everything in order. So when Solomon was to begin building the temple, his father had prepared the way for it to happen. Amen. Amen. And he was completely satisfied to be able to do all that God had placed in his heart because he was doing the will of God and the plan of God. So tonight, what about you? What about you? What about your present circumstance? Your present need? Amen. The very thing that you may be praying about and saying, Lord, would you remove this from my life? I want free from this. I don't want to have to deal with this worry or this problem anymore. Be careful what you pray for. You hear me? Be careful what you pray for, because this very likely is God's plan, God's working. It may be like a pit. It may be like betrayal. It may be false accusation. This are just the things that Joseph went through. But there are many, many trying situations that you go through. For Joseph, it was 13 years of waiting. I don't know if he ever lost heart. If he ever lost, there's no record at all that he ever lost sight of the vision, the dream that had been placed in his heart. He just yielded to God. Yielded to God in the circumstance that he was in. Be reminded here tonight that God's ways are higher. They're far beyond your rational thinking, far beyond your ability to understand. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Yield to the Lord and let him you know, just kind of whittle away at your life and work in you and change you and shape you and form you, because he's going to make you into something that is usable for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, as we close out here tonight, I want to just take a moment for us to consider this and for you to pray tonight about your own present situation. Amen. This may not apply to everyone here, but I think for the most part, it will. It does. Because God is working and he's planning. Amen. The phrase of that song that says something about the hand of God in all my life I see. The hand of God in all my life I see. Amen. Since you're a child of God, that means even the things that Satan wants to use as evil toward you, that God is able to take that and use it for good. Amen. And use it for his glory. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? We're going to pray around this altar tonight, and I want to ask you to be honest before the Lord. You may have spent some time complaining to God about your present need or your present trouble or trial. And again, be careful what you ask the Lord to remove, because it could be the very thing that would bring you to your Egypt, that would bring you to that place of God's fulfillment of his plan in your life. So call upon the Lord and yield yourself to him tonight. Amen. If you're 17 or if you're 70, doesn't make any difference. As I said at the beginning of this, God's not through with you until your life is completed. And he's the one that determines when that takes place. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord.